You're listening to Kevin and the Spleen.
No one's gonna ever love me.
1098.5 Radio QWX. Real quick.
Bussin', no cap.
No cap.
Really smack you in the ass with flavor. There you go. This show is about depression, anxiety, PTSD, and chronic illness.
We going quick. We're trying to keep you on the path to the ride home on the evening time.
It's a fucking zoo.
Make it quicks. With the Quicks Radio.
White lives do not matter.
Oh, baby, I can't hear any sound. Oh, yeah, sound playing, baby. Ha-ha. What's up, folks? I can't hear Kevin.
Oh, we are on. Sorry, I don't know what happened there.
I wonder if the audience could heard the sound. Could they heard that? Or could they heard this, baby? Oh, yeah.
I'd like to think they could.
But what matters is that the future audience is going to heard some pieces of this. Probably most of it. Probably all of it, you know. Probably all of it.
I will make sure that the people at home got the entire experience of listening to us.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. We're on the air. We're in the studio. We're in the stomach, as we like to call it. We record from the stomach. Man, we were having some audio issues earlier. Remember, Kevin, there's an audio doubling that happened?
There was, yes. And I think maybe I removed two things rather than just one thing. But yes.
Or like, maybe you removed the thing that made the first sound and not the thing that was doubling it, you know?
That's quite possible. I don't know exactly what I did. I really want to troubleshoot it right now, but I'm worried if I do that, it's going to cut everything off for everybody. So we're just going to be happy it's working right now.
I'm really happy, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy it's working right now. I was just trying to think of, like, you know, we always break new ground on the podcast. That's a big part of what we do. We're a frontier podcast. We're pushing the frontier outward. We're building a bridge.
That's why
as we
show
walk
that
on.
Video of you as the cowboy, you know.
Yeah,
blazing new frontiers every week.
Exactly. That's exactly. It's a metaphor. And if you miss this, if you miss the metaphor, it's been happening every episode. So come on. And if you listen to the podcast, what you might not know is we have a Screaming Cowboy situation. Check us out. ThatHappensPod.com if you want to know what we're talking about. If that's the email is correct. But it might not be. Oh, man. Okay, Kevin. I went to Portland. Did you go to Portland?
Not this year, no. Why did you go to Portland?
Have you ever been to Portland?
Only for Harmontown when we were shooting
right,
there.
Right.
And it just kept having the weirdest experiences there. I'm not sure if I ever want to go back, but yes.
Right. I remember talking about that. Yeah. Classic. That's some classic Portland. So I went back there, and now that I think about it, I remember complaining the last time I was in Portland. And the last time I was in Portland, I was doing a magic video, and this time I was also doing that. I was doing the same thing. That's why I went back to Portland. And something, I don't know what it was, who knows, but something about it this time, I feel like something clicked with me about Portland, and I was like, oh man, I could totally live here. This would be great to live here. Whereas before, I was like, this is a great place, but I don't know that I want to live here. And I don't know. Portland was being the same, and it was pissing me off, you know? I'm like, God damn it, these fucking idiots. No one knows how to drive. No one knows how to work, had a job. You know, because in LA, everybody's like, I don't know. Everybody's like, put me on television, you know? They're like working. It's not like people in LA work really hard. There's people in LA are really flaky and lazy in a way that's honestly very similar to Portland. But everyone's like constantly freaking out. They're like, I'm about to get fired. Whereas in Portland, they're not like that. Everybody's chill. And when you come in, they look at you with not upset or anything, but they look at you like, oh, this is the first customer we've gotten all day. This is crazy. I can't believe this is happening. What's happening right now? I can't remember how to do my job. This is my first day here. What's going on? Which way is up? What's happening? I hope this guy just leaves without doing anything. That's kind of the vibe some employees at Portland stores give off. And it's surprising because it's like, wow, like, am I the first customer here? Like, ever in the history of the store? Like, what's going on? But what I've come to find out is that actually Portland's just chill. They're essentially on island time, you know? Like, nothing matters, and they could be bad at their jobs because you could just walk to the bus, you know? And, like, no one gives a fuck. And if someone's mad at you, they'll just leave and not come back, and you're like, oh, great, the problem solved itself. And so there's no reason to do anything very hard because everything's fine and everyone is fine. And even the homeless people are fine. Although, you know, there's a homeless problem. There's a homeless problem everywhere. There's a homeless problem in LA, Burbank, everywhere. But it just, everybody's doing great. I don't know. And that's what clicked me. I was like, oh, it's not like this place is fucked up and they don't know how to do things. It's just that they have the space to not give a fuck. And maybe that's actually the way society should be constructed. And I've just learned how to live in a war zone and be like, why is there no bombshells going off? You know, like, what's wrong with this place? And so I feel like that kind of clicked with me when I was in Portland. But yeah,
one of the things that really struck out to me, one of the things that struck out to me of whenever I'm in LA, the go-to of, like, when you haven't seen somebody for a while is, hey, where are you working now? You know, and that's a totally LA thing. That doesn't happen anywhere else that I've ever been. Of like, you sort of assume that unless you've heard something, everyone's still working at the same job they had before. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I totally get that kind of sense.
Yeah, this, like, what are you working on kind of thing, this hustle-y. Yeah, it's like LA's weird. LA people are flaky and LA has a weird culture. And I think a lot of it comes from the fact that it's like transplants. It's people that, like, either were dreamers who came out here or people who are, like, fleeing something else, you know? And so it's all these weird people and they're like, oh, I got to prove myself. I got to work really hard and make my show and become famous. And that, like, you know, it makes us all kind of isolate to an extent and not really connect as a community the same way other places do. So it's a pretty unique place. But Portland was really cool. I don't know. I had a lot of anxiety there. I had not a panic attack, but, like, I don't know what you call it. Maybe an anxiety attack. It's what I thought was a panic attack before I had, like, a real panic attack. And then I was like, oh, okay, that's a panic attack. Well, whatever I was calling that stuff wasn't a panic attack. But it's maybe an anxiety attack. But the whole time I was just really there. I don't know. I just, like, I was going there and there's all these people who are, like, magic content creators and streamers and stuff. And it's weird because they know a lot about magic in ways that I don't. And they're really good at magic because they make content about magic, you know? So it's like their job is to, like, be a unique voice on the hill saying, I talk about magic in this good way. Come look at me. Do it in this way. You know, so it's like that's a very different intersection with me, who just plays magic a very specific way that I play it, not with any intention to, like, perform or anything. You know, I just do it for fun and I'm not particularly good, although I've been playing for a long time and I know a lot about the game. And so these are people that, like, they perform differently than me because they don't just rant to their producer for an hour, you know. It's just, like, polished content. Like, they do multiple takes and write a script and stuff. So they're really polished in how they do it. And they're really polished in how they play magic. And I'm, like, you know, just, like, trying to make jokes or whatever, but I don't know what the fuck I'm doing and I'm not good at magic. And it's just, I don't know. I did it last time and I felt really good. And this time I felt like it was okay, but I just felt really anxious the whole time. And I feel like I just pissed everyone off and made everyone hate me. And I'm sure it's all fine, but, it just sucked. Like, the whole time I was there, I was basically just freaking out and being like, oh man, I just upset everybody. And not even like, oh man, I wish this person didn't hate me. Just like, I don't want to step on anyone's toes, you know? And I feel like that's all I did. So that sucked. But there's some real good food up there. Holy shit. It's good food. Portland. And it's cheap, dude. Food is so much cheaper than in LA and it's way better. And it's like, what are you talking about? What are you doing? It's so good. I gotta go there. Get a job at the Subway. Last time I was there, there was that guy at the Subway, and he was like, I get more money from streaming on TikTok than I do at the Subway. And it's like, well, I'll just work at the Subway. Work at the I'll have to get red contacts like that guy, though. Anyway, if you're just tuning in, that would be really strange. Right? Don't you think?
I think that do people like start a podcast and just like skip 15 minutes in and go, okay, let's skip past that intro slump and just get into the meat of it.
Exactly. Well, we didn't. Now we're just in the post-intro slump right now, you know, but I don't know. It's just, I don't think people do that, but something people do is podcasters will say, like, we'll reset. Well, they'll be like, oh, and we're talking to Kevin Day here on That Happens. And it's like, who the fuck? No one's tuning into this. Like, what are you resetting for? You know? So there is sometimes reasons to reset. Don't get me wrong, but it's always, I hear it a lot, and podcasts is always funny. Oh, the post-intro slump. Jesus Christ. You know what would break up the post-intro slump is something to eat or drink upon. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And I would play the Show and Taste music, but I don't think it's going to come out for anybody but me.
Oh, yeah. But in the future, it will play.
It's going to be right here.
Yes. Oh, man. Okay, good. That was good. So here's the thing, Kevin. Doritos made a Baja Fiery Mango Dorito using Mountain Dew technology. This is shitty. I don't know.
Oh, I have a Mountain Dew life hack, but you go first. You
wait, what? No. Mountain Dew life hack. What?
Okay. This.
What
this
are you
is
talking
almost...
about?
Sorry, I just saw it sitting on my desk and it reminded me, but I didn't mean to cut you off. You want to do your review first? It's okay.
No, really. No. I don't care. Also, I've talked way too much in the past 20 or so minutes. So the audience wants you to hear or wants to listen to you. I want to listen to you.
This is kind of nerdy even for me. They're like, I feel dumb doing this, but I love this. Okay. So get yourself from like Walmart or whatever, the Mountain Dew SodaStream syrup, which is kind of overpriced, but it's basically Mountain Dew in syrup form. And then grab iced tea or Sprite or whatever, and then just give it a little bit of kick of Mountain Dew. And it's just life-changing, okay? It's like the way some people add a little bit of lemon to their iced tea. You add a little bit of this, okay? This is what you need. And it actually is surprisingly good. Have you ever tried
just
like
the syrup? Not just the syrup.
A little dab. You know, I'm not saying like.
No, for like some reason, I thought you were doing the full soda stream and then you put a little bit of soda. But no, it's just like a flavoring. Okay, I get this. It sounds pretty good. I'm not a huge iced tea fan, but I like Arnold Palmer's. So like maybe I could enjoy that. I'll definitely check it out. I want to try.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried it in just all kinds of random things. I mean, I tried it in basically every. I had a bottle of this sitting on my desk, and I was basically just anytime I had a drink, I would try some in it. Fruit juices did not go so well with things like that, but like teas or like this actually is surprisingly good with like Starry or Sprite or something. It kind of ends up being a little bit more of a citrusy version of one of those.
Yeah, maybe a bit more orangey and stuff.
So anyway, that's the saddest life hack I think I've ever told. But anyway,
I love that life hack. It's not sad, but yeah, I do think the audience is going to be like, wow, this is fucking unhinged. Kevin is going around experimenting, putting Mountain Dew syrup in his beverages. What's going on with him right now? You know? So, but I really like that. And I think that's really cool. And I honestly respect you a lot. And I honestly didn't think you would be cool enough to do something that cool. So thanks so much.
Well, the genesis of it was, if you can see behind me here, I actually do have a soda stream that broke. Mm-hmm. And I had a bunch of these left. And I was like, you know, I don't use it enough to be worth. What else could I do with the syrup if I'm not going to buy another soda stream? And so I just started putting it on stuff. You know,
yeah.
Well, I mean, again, this is me justifying something that's honestly pretty stupid. But like people put Dr. Pepper in baked beans and ribs and stuff like that, you know, like
no, I'm not judging
citrusy things in other things too. Why can't this be good? And it actually,
I think,
isn't bad.
No, it's great. I think it's just, I don't know. I listened to this podcast called Double Threat, and the main hosts are Julie Krelausner and Tom Sharpling, and then the producer is this guy named Brett, and the thing is, Brett, he just has a life, you know. But when Brett is like talking about shit he's doing, for whatever reason, because the context is he's the producer and not the main hosts, it just almost anything he says just comes out insane, if that makes sense. And like, I think the idea of just you had this left over and you're like messing around with it is like, oh, it makes perfect sense. But be like, you know, I've been trying to put Mountain Dew syrup in different beverages. Like, that just sounds insane, especially when it's like a producer saying, you know, I don't know. But it is very normal. And again, we appreciate your service. But I think you should try to make toast and butter the toast and then put a little bit on top of the butter, kind of like Marmite, you know?
Okay. You know, I was actually tempted to try to make like a fruit salad and use this as a little bit of a glaze, but I just felt like that was just getting way too sad.
Yeah. Didn't you sent me that Mountain Dew cookbook? And that's kind of how a lot of the recipes were, is like, just kind of like add Mountain Dew to like a glaze. And it's like, yeah, that probably works pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, if it didn't have caffeine, I probably think it would go better for some of these things, because that's still like, especially in the very concentrated form like this, if you get just a little bit of the syrup, you've got some of that caffeinated tanginess.
It's so bitter. Caffeine is really bitter.
But I mean, they make up for this by it being almost pure sugar. I mean, there's more sugar than water in here. So it's, you know, it makes up for it, but it's not. I'm just realizing all of the Europeans right now are just gagging at all of this. Trust me, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Well, they can enjoy it, you know. This is what you have to do when you get shot to death every day, you know. I'm gonna eat this chip though. It's fiery mango flavored. The thing is, I want to drink the soda, but I gotta eat the chip before I drink the soda. Does that make sense?
It does. So Spencer's trying this. So this is like a Baja infused Doritos. Is that, Spencer doesn't look happy.
It's so mango-y. It's the same mango you would put in mango candy. So it's like crushed mango dust candy, which is really sweet and really sour. And then it's just kind of spicy on top of that. But it's like if you ate a hard candy and then a chip at the same time. That's kind of awful.
But you're eating more. He's trying a second one here.
This is, you know, I don't know.
For science.
It's really good. It's not. I don't know. I think the spiciness is compelling, but I don't like it. Okay. All right. Go ahead, come. I'm going to chew off my...
All right. So, Spencer is chewing away from the microphone. I meant to get some of this, but I ended up having to do a show for my office, not my home today, so I didn't have any of the stuff. But like, little spoiler for like how me and Spencer interact basically is that, like, other than like Sundays when we're doing the show, 85% of our communication is me or him sending pictures of new unreleased drinks and going, hey, have you seen this one yet? And then invariably one of us goes, no, I don't have that one yet. And then
have you seen this one yet? Oh, fuck. Have you seen this one yet? Yep. Can't find it. Have you seen this one? Yeah. Shit. Fuck. Like, actually, can we go? I wanted to actually look, because you know you can look at our pictures. So the pictures that we send are pretty good. You send me a picture of Walmart Mountain Dew. And I send you a picture of, oh no, but then you send me a picture of a Grubhub picture that says, if you spend $40,000, you can earn $8. And then I sent you a picture of a Lucky Charms box. And then you sent me a picture of a bunch of Dr. Pepper with coconut. This is how it is. We're serious.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, they're just fucking around. It's like, no, we care about this stuff a lot. Oh, no, you
we
got do. It.
We spend a lot of time planning this. So yeah, I've got Dr. Pepper creamy coconut that I'm going to send to Spencer if he can't find it within the next week.
Yeah, but he doesn't have my drinks. So Kevin, you're going to try that and tell us how it flavors.
Okay. I cracked it open already, but I haven't actually tasted it. Let's
Can you smell here. It? Does it smell coconutty? It probably should, yes, right? Yes,
it smells like coconut oil, you know, basically. It's not even, it smells like this should be used for cooking, not for eating. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like ooh, fresh coconut. This just smells like coconut oil. Like if you know, open up a jar of coconut oil, that's what you're gonna get.
I wonder what
happened. Almost like, no Dr. Pepper. It just smells like
coconut. Weird. Yeah, that makes sense. I wonder what would happen if you did ribs with that stuff, you know, the coconut Dr. Pepper.
Okay, so it tastes so much like coconut with a Dr. Pepper aftertaste.
Oh, that sucks. I don't think I'd like that. I want to try it, though, but I don't know. That doesn't sound good, does it?
It's like a Dr. Pepper pina colada.
Do you like it? Is it good?
I don't think I would buy it again, but I'll finish what I have, if that answers it. You know, it's not terrible, but it's just, it's not great. Are you a coconut fan?
Yeah, generally, but not, I'm not 100%, but yeah, I like coconut a fair amount.
Like, I could see somehow you making like a pie out of this or something, like a cream pie, you know, like coconut cream with that Dr. Pepper.
Would it be better? Wouldn't it just be better to just do a normal like coconut pie though?
Probably.
Yeah. That's the problem with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, I got the freaking Mountain Dew Baja Laguna lemonade. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, go ahead. You go ahead. Yours first.
Okay. Well, I just want to drink it. I bet it's going to drink like soda. You know, it's Mountain Dew. There's so many. We've done this podcast for so long. 3 years? How many Bajas have there been in that time, you know?
I've lost track. I can't even remember sometimes whether we've had one or not now.
It's the 20th Bajaversary. It's like the second or third mango Baja flavor of Mountain Dew that they've come out with. Oh, man. What a life I've lived.
So this how stuff would you describe is
it's pretty mango-y, and then it has some lemon to it. It's called Laguna Lemonade, but I would say it's more like lemony mango or something, you know. It's pretty solid. I'm trying to think, would I get it again? I think I would get this a couple more times, but not a bunch. I've been drinking a lot of diet soda lately, and it's weird because when you're drinking diet soda and then you switch to regular soda and then you switch back, they both taste bad. Like if you're used to diet and you drink regular, the regular tastes bad. It doesn't like taste normal sweet. It tastes like, it doesn't taste too sweet to me either, which is what everyone says. They go like, oh, I drink normal Cokes now, and then they taste too sweet because I'm used to diet. It doesn't taste too sweet. It just tastes weird. And, you know, the same thing happens other way. But this actually tastes really good despite having diet sodas most of the time. So I don't know. Mistress J says, pour it over ice cream, make it a float. A Dr. Pepper coconut float would probably kick ass, dude. You should try that, you know?
I will. I'll run out tonight and grab some ice cream and report back next week.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad I got to drink something because I was thirsty.
Yes.
But now, okay. I've been on Threads. I don't know. I'm posting on all the different social medias. I really am. I'm posting on all of, or not all of them, but I'm posting on the different ones. I post a lot less on Twitter, but I still technically post on Twitter. I mostly post about magic on Twitter. And I retweet news because I still haven't really found good news to retweet on the other two. And on Blue Sky, I post most of my tweets are on Blue Sky. Blue Sky is good. And then on Threads, I'm on Threads too, and Threads sucks. But, you know, there's people on Threads. Man, Threads sucks, Kevin. It's so bad. The algorithm is like the Twitter algorithm, but worse. And also, I have an old version of Twitter where it doesn't have the new algorithm. So it's just, it's still timeline-based feed, which is nice. But everything else about the app is broken. But the timeline works. But so Threads has it has like a following feed, but even that isn't timeline based. It's just not random idiots. But your main feed is just mostly random idiots saying the most inane, banal stuff. And it's so stupid. And the other people are just like clout farmers, like Instagram posters that are posting memes and stolen jokes and stuff. Kind of like the Krasenstein brothers. But just everyone's a Krasenstein on fucking Threads. And so it's a fucking nightmare hellscape. And you don't follow any of these people, but you see their terrible posts because the algorithms is like, oh, these are the good posts. So it's been really frustrating because you can't see the posts of the people you're following. Your followers can't see your posts. And the people who do see your posts are just random strangers. And I started to figure out like what was, and I don't know, I haven't like figured it out, but I started trying to figure out like what was like gonna make your tweets go big on Threads or whatever, because it's so based on the algorithm, you know. It's like you can't just
Oh, I think we may have lost Spencer here. Spencer has frozen. Okay, while we wait for Spencer to return, let me share my Threads story here. So there is an actress, her name is Kristen Johnson. You might know her as the person, she's on Third Rock from the Sun. Really funny actress. Oh, I think Spencer might be coming back, but let me finish what I'm saying here. We lost you for a second, Spencer.
Yeah.
So somehow on Threads, two-thirds of when I was scrolling my timeline in Threads were just posts from Kristen Johnson, which seemed like a very, very specific person to focus. Like, she's a wonderful person. She's funny on Threads. She's great. But for some reason, Threads thinks that all I care about are posts from Kristen Johnson. And so I tried to, like, not because, again, I don't like her or anything, but I tried to block her just so that I wasn't, that's all I was seeing was everything. Just anytime she posted, I get a notification, I do all this. And then now I'm somehow following her. And if I click to unfollow her and close the app and go back in, I'm still following her. So my Threads experience is just Kristen Johnson.
Well, that honestly sounds a little bit better than mine, because everybody's so stupid. I don't know exactly when I cut out, but I tried to figure out when, like, how to actually go viral, or not go viral, but how to actually get traction, because it's like, clearly there's some game. So like, let's play the game or whatever. But so the first thing that I posted was, are people actually drinking tea? Do they not know yet? With the eyeballs emoji, like looking to the left, which again, like, the thing is, on Threads, everybody's posting really dumb bullshit and it's stupid. And they're posting stuff like that because people are talking about shit and you don't know where they're talking about, which is something that happened on Twitter. But it's worse on Threads because you're seeing people you don't care about. You don't know what they're talking about. And they talk about stuff that you don't care about because there's no reason that you're looking at it other than the algorithm. You know, so they're being like, I can't believe she said that about some TV show they're watching, you know, but like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And no one does. So then not only am I confused, but other people are confused and they're seeing it because the algorithm is just boosting it. And then the people are getting mad. So I get mad, but everybody does this too. And you go into the comments and people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? Shut the fuck up. And it's just like, this is like, it's like confusion because I don't want to see this. And the lady doesn't want me to see it either. It's like, no one wins here. Everybody loses. And so like, but so that like post was getting at that kind of energy, is like someone who's talking about something like obtusely in a way that's like, what are they talking about, you know? And it didn't get very much traction, but it got some, and a lot of the traction it got was people I didn't know. And so I was like, okay, clearly the algorithm actually caught this one, you know, as opposed to like my followers saw it. And so then I posted, what if we punished powerful people for breaking the law? Because I thought, you know, it wouldn't read as political enough to get, because one of the things Threads does is down emphasize political content. So I thought that would read as political enough to not get like flagged, but it would like be political enough that people would like react and be like, oh, I agree with this or I don't, you know? So that got a pretty good deal of traction. That got 500 likes and 30 replies. And I was like, oh, okay. So people will react, like certain things like will get boosted or whatever. So then I was like, okay, what can I do here? So then I was like, okay, I'm going to try to make a post that'll get boosted by the algorithm. And so what I wrote was, you know, I love the big man, but gas prices are just too dang high, which I don't know what that means or what it's supposed to mean. But what I would like it to mean is like, I'm mad at God for the gas prices and inflation. And that's what I think, like, I was trying, like, that's, like, what the character was saying, you know? But so I wrote that, and at this point I wrote it a day ago, and it got 149 replies from people saying stuff like, I don't think God pays attention to gas prices. What hole did you crawl out of? Biden doesn't sit on OPEC. He does not set prices. The GOP-run Congress has had opportunities to stop price gouging at the pump. Jesus, they are everywhere. It's summer gas. Go buy an EV. Do a Google search for gas company profits. There you go, showing off your third grade education. They're going up in Canada too. Blame the greedy, not the government. Corporate greed. Tell me you're misinformed. And they're telling me you're just like, I don't know. I guess people online do get mad at Biden for the gas prices. So it's like a bunch of people are like, oh, this guy's getting mad at Biden for the gas prices. But it's just so fucking funny because I was like, oh, I bet like people are going to see this. And then a bunch of people did. They got so mad. And I was just like, this is awesome. This is so good. And it's so good. And now Threads is good. And I like it because I didn't realize that that's how you're supposed to play it, is you're supposed to just troll and see how many people you could be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Which, if you think about it, when I was
Oh no, we've lost Spencer again. Oh boy. Okay. Well, that was my only Threads story. I like Threads. Threads mostly, though, for me, and I don't know if this is because maybe I did click on a few things initially, is just every single thing anyone has ever had wrong with any Tesla is like all my feed is, other than Kristen Johnson posts. But I get a substantial amount of like, hey, my Tesla door doesn't open, or the window doesn't roll down, or whatever. And that's mostly what my Threads experience is Kristen Johnson and Tesla tech support, which is not really the experience you want to have on any kind of social network. But I still like it better than Twitter, I think. So I'm sticking around for a little while. We have completely lost Spencer. So while he probably is rebooting his computer right now, or Mark Zuckerberg has sent someone to take Spencer out, let me move on to another drink review we've got here. I got just out right now Sprite Chill, which is supposed to be a cherry lime version of Sprite. I didn't even realize this was coming out until I was walking down the store and I was like, oh wait, this is out now. Like I remember reading about it like 6 months ago, and then now it's out. Oh hey, I see Spencer back, but I think he's on the wrong webcam and possibly microphone. So while he fixes that, let me open up my can of Sprite Chill and see if this really is as chilly as the name suggests here. So I'm just going to open this up here. Okay, so it smells just like Sprite. I don't really get any kind of cherry. There's already the lime that's in Sprite. So I'm just sort of, I don't know this. To me, if you just handed this to me, it tastes like or smells like Sprite. The can also looks so much like Sprite too. I walked past these a couple times without realizing they were something new when I first saw them. Let me. Okay, it does taste substantially different than a regular Sprite. It's got kind of that artificial cherry, that like cherry candy kind of thing, that I don't know that I really like. Like it tastes like cherry Jolly Ranchers or something that you've soaked in Sprite for a while. That it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's not bad, but it's not something I would really want to drink. This feels more like, you know, when I was in junior high and messing with drinks or something and decided I was going to put different flavors in different drinks, things like that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's not my favorite, but I don't hate it. I see Spencer. But I don't think he can hear or see us yet. Oh, he can hear me. But we can't hear him. So he's still working on that. Okay, well, here, let me try my life hack while we're waiting for Matsu to come back here. I'm going to try adding some Mountain Dew syrup to my Sprite Chill and see if this doesn't take it from, like, because right now that Sprite Chill, I would say, is probably, I would give that maybe like a 4 out of 10. It's like Sprite, but worse, you know? So I'm opening this up. So this is SodaStream syrup. Let's open this up a little bit. Let's see how this does. So Spencer is laughing a lot, right? Oh,
yeah.
I think it's the predictor, but I can hear you now, Spencer.
Okay. That's so strange. Why did that make it work? Can you still hear me? Okay.
I can still hear you. Okay. So I'm just going to pour the tiniest bit of SodaStream syrup into my Sprite here. And let's see if this made this better. And I don't really have a way of stirring it, though. It's kind of thick syrup. Let's see.
Did it mix
in? Honestly, yes. And actually, this is awesome now.
Oh. And that's the cherry lime one?
Yes. Okay. So I don't know if you heard any of my earlier review, but basically it just tasted like you put a cherry Jolly Rancher in some Sprite and left it sit for a while, and it didn't come out very good. This, though, tastes like cherry lime Mountain Dew. It's actually pretty good, but maybe I just like Mountain Dew. I don't know. Maybe that's what I'm discovering about myself right now. But
well, maybe it rounds out better. The fruitiness. Yeah,
it so, does, okay. And it doesn't taste quite so artificial.
Yeah,
I know that the Mountain Dew flavor is completely artificial. It doesn't taste as off.
Well, that's the thing. I think that like the Sprite has like two notes, you know, it has like the clean lemon lime note and then probably like the cherry note or whatever, you know. So the various citrus of the Mountain Dew. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
It's more
sorry.
Cohesive.
You did a good
it's
job, Kevin. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We got to edit this. You got to send me this. Send me this podcast and we'll edit it. And we'll edit all of you doing good out so the audience never realizes that you're better doing the podcast than me. Okay. Did you have anything else? Because you were hosting really good, so I don't want to just shit all over it.
No, please continue.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm really sorry, man. That was really good, though. So I've swapped my router and my internet. And since then, it's just dropping out intermittently. I think hardwiring works better. So I went in from a different computer, and that's why the microphone was weird, because I think I had to swap my microphone and it just was eh. Anyway, so I painted the whole house. It's been crazy. You know,
it's a blindingly bright white void behind you now.
Yeah, that's the paint. It's getting more powerful by the day. But man, painting's tiring, you know. It's a full body workout. That's not what I wanted to talk about. What did I want to talk about? Oh, okay. So there's some stuff. I don't know how much of this I have or haven't talked about on the podcast. But one thing that I've talked about to Kevin before is that I think there's this big problem. Everybody talks about it. And it's like everybody knows about it. And this is not new. Nothing I'm saying is surprising. But they talk about the shitification of the internet. Where, you know, everything is getting worse, where first they, you know, subsidize the business and then they, you know, force the customers onto, you know, to pay the costs that they were subsidizing. And then they, you know, pull the bottom out of the service. So they're just like forcing us to pay costs for basically nothing. And it's happening everywhere. And that's what capitalism does, et cetera, et cetera. It's happening everywhere. It's ruining the world, but it's happening on the internet. And the way it's happening is closely mirroring how the Facebook pivot to video killed all the legacy media, right? Because what used to happen is, and I think I talked about a little bit of this, but what used to happen is legacy media would get money from advertisers, and that would fund their business model. And so then they can afford to pay journalists and stuff to make their stuff. And so then when they moved online, the Facebook ran in Google, they ran all the ads, And so, but then, you know, say wallstreetjournal.com or whatever would have ads on their website too. So now both of them are getting ads. But then what Google started doing is those google.amp.pages or whatever, those amplified pages. And then Facebook started doing similar things where they would just kind of like do in browser links that would basically capture the traffic and not pass it on and not pass the advertising traffic on to the websites, the legacy media websites. And so they would retain the advertiser dollars and the viewer eyeballs and stuff. So they essentially cut the legacy media out of the advertising dollars. And so part of the pivot to video was like, oh, well, when we do this, we'll be getting so much more advertising than we ever could with our old money marketing that everyone will be winning and we'll be making more money at the end of the day. But what happened is the big internet players just scooped up all the money and never passed it on. And so then all those industries bottomed out and they stopped being able to pay for all of the stuff they were doing. At the same time, video production was more expensive than they would have to do. So they started investing and spinning up new types of business that they were bad at while doing less of what they were making. You know, and there was a bunch of stuff happening at once. But the end result is the shitification of the internet right now is the same way, whereas all the social giants with their algorithms and the search engines have basically completely Ubered and like they've ruined the service and put all the costs onto us, and they only do it in ways that benefit their advertising. You know, they don't give you good search results. They give you the stuff that they're linked to and the advertisers that are paying and stuff. It's ruined everything. And, you know, you can't host stuff on Google, you know, because their algorithms are hard to exist on. Everybody's like at the mercy of these algorithms, you know, that we exist on. It's the equivalent to if like we were all like car based jobs, like if we were all Uber drivers, and then someone bought all the roads in existence and made them all separate toll roads, and just like every road you'd have to pay like three or four different tolls on. Like that's essentially what's happened to the internet. And it's impossible to live with. But the thing is, the internet's just like a product. It's like a service. It's a capitalism. You can outcompete it, hypothetically. You know, if you're talking about internet hosting, there's other internet hosts. But, you know, one of the big problems with the internet hosts is they have like morality stuff. And so there's places that don't want to host porn or adult content, you know. And that like then gets down to the fact that there's banks and credit card processors that don't want to lend money to, you know, places that do business with those people. So it's like you can't really create a competing internet host service or search engine, you know, I think, without being able to have a separate funding stream that's not beholden to interests that could say, hey, we're not going to fund you anymore because adult content or whatever. So then you need to start a bank. So, you know, again, what it comes down to is the internet's made out of pipes. All the pipes are old and shitty, and they've been locked down with fees, and they're clogged, and they're all fucked up, and we need new pipes. That's what we need. We need new pipes. Everybody wants new pipes. Patreon is close to a new pipe. You know, people, creators, and their audiences want the same thing. Audiences want good content. Creators want to make good content. Creators want to show that to an audience. Audiences want to pay someone to make them stuff. And what all the middlemen want to do is make a bunch of money, not doing anyone any favors, not doing anything anyone wants. And so the obvious solution is to cut them out and to do what everyone else actually wants to happen. So we need new pipes. And how do we do this? I was talking to Kevin about this. We need to find a rich, famous person and sell them on the idea of buying the pipes, right? Because you need someone who's like an Elon Musk figure who you can flatter and say like, hey, you know, it would be really cool if you have, you know, you control the internet, and then everyone will love you because you have the internet, and all the porn stars will love you because, you know, you could do all the things. And you just find the person, you know, who will spend that money, and then you save the internet, and the internet's saved, and everybody wins, or someone gets assassinated. You know, that's usually what ends up happening instead of everyone winning. But hey, you know, so why do I bring this up? I can't remember. Hold on. I think I had, it was going somewhere with this. Hold on. Oh, okay. So last podcast, Dalton sent us an email. I don't know if you listened to the last podcast, but Dalton got married on April 5th and he wanted to know if we had anything to say about his marriage. And you weren't there. And I feel like I said nothing good. I feel like I really shit the bed, but you're married. And so I feel like you would have something good to say to Dalton. Sorry.
Was there more specific or just, hey, I got married, what do you think?
Yeah, like, do you have any advice? Let me find the actual email, because he did say, oh boy, my tech problems are, but yeah, do you have like, what would, if you had any wishes, or, you know, you had to like give a speech or something like that, you know?
I mean, I think, you know, marriage is about compromise. Marriage is about finding your happy place with each other. Marriage is about, you know, basically making this person like, you know, your best friend or one of your closest friends or however you want to see it, and making it sort of like a second half of yourself. And for some people that comes really naturally, for some people that's really difficult. It's a big life change though, just knowing that like, hey, I can't just go crazy and spend half my money on this stupid project, you know, without talking to her about it first. Or, you know, you have somebody else that you have to run decisions by that previously were very private, and that can be a source of difficulty for some people. So I would say, like, go into it knowing that you're going to have to compromise, you're going to have to work with people, you're going to have to, you know, try to either find a middle ground, or just, if you can't find middle ground in each situation, find a way that you both are getting your itches scratched equally. And I think that's the key to being happy.
Yeah, I think that's really good. That's great. I'm sure that's the kind of thing he was looking for. I looked it up and it said, like, do you have anything to bless this union? So I think that that fits. I don't know what I said. I was like self-destructing when I was doing that. I remember that. So I remember giving bad advice and being like, we should circle back to this and do a better job. So one thing I guess I would say is that communication is really important. You need to come up with, okay, so obviously you're going to have problems, but hypothetically, you both want to solve the problem. So that means you are both on the same team in the sense that you both want a good strategy that you can communicate effectively to each other when you're having problems that won't make things worse. And so if when things are good, you can come together and be all like, hey, we're on the same team. Let's come up with a strategy to communicate when things are having problems so things don't get worse. And you have that strategy together. I feel like when you're having problems, you could be like, oh man, we got the perfect thing for this. And like, even having that might help a little bit. But at the end of the day, you're going to have problems and you're going to need to communicate about them. So, you know, figuring out what's going to help and not make things worse. I mean, you probably are already there if you're in a relationship. But hey, I'm not in relationships, so what do I know? Speaking of relationships, I was talking to my friend the other day. We were hiking, and he was saying, you know Usher, the rapper?
Yeah.
Apparently, Usher has fake money printed up with his face on it. I don't know if this is true, but this is what he said. And it would be really fucked up if he was lying to me. He puts his face on money to take to the strip club. And he throws that money instead of real money. Isn't that insane?
I've heard this too.
How can that be real? That can't be real. I don't know. Right?
Let me Google this for a minute.
I feel like you'd get punched. Like, I feel like it would be a news story that someone attacked him or something, you know? Like, I don't know.
But, so TMZ says that didn't happen and it was a big old misunderstanding.
Yeah, okay, right.
There were fake bills, but that he actually paid them real cash too.
Okay. So he's like doing a bit. All right, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is that we got to go to Usher and say, like, look, you're going to own the internet. We're going to create a new kind of NFT. We're going to sell it. We'll make millions. We'll call it Ushbucks, because that's what he used at the strip club, right? And it's an NFT based on this TMZ event that you can use to pay strip clubs. You know, we do an integration with like OnlyFans and Pornhub, so you can pay for your subscriptions in Ushbucks, right? So we get Ushbucks is going to the moon, get millions of dollars. We start a bank. We can afford to start an internet host. We bring the internet. We buy Starbucks into it. Okay, this is really important. You got to buy Starbucks into it because we're buying the pipes. This is about new pipes. Starbucks is everywhere. If Starbucks is buying your pipes, you get the pipes fucking everywhere. You have the internet. It's owned by Usher. It's the new internet. You call it the UsherNet. You pay for it with Ushbucks. It's the new NFT. The internet's freed. We own all the pipes. Usher owns all the pipes. He could pay all the porn stars in the Ushbucks, and it's finally actually works this time. You can actually get away with it for once. I think it's the perfect solution. What do you think, Kevin?
That is the most creative financial platform I think I have ever heard. I love it.
They say chaos is a ladder, and I think you can kind of see how that applies here. Don't you think like it's so insane that like it is something that could happen?
Yes. I mean, crazier things have happened.
Exactly.
I would support this if it did. I hope Usher is on board with your idea. Because he wants to clear his name
after the Ushbucks incident.
Right. It wasn't counterfeiting. He was just an early adopter.
No, he was. Yeah, he invented NFTs. He essentially invented NFTs, but they were fungible. Right. Like the thing is, he invented fungible tokens.
I think we could do it.
I think we could save the internet, and by extension, the world.
I mean, I can't go into too many details, but one of the things that my company does is consulting for a lot of industries that do have problems with banking and making money and things like that off the internet. And there really are just no good solutions. You know, like if you're trying to buy or sell things that Visa and MasterCard have decided they don't like, good luck. You know, you're just not going to do it.
Kevin consults rappers. He's a rapper consultant.
Yes. That's why I have Usher's people in my phone already.
That's the thing is me and Kevin have been talking about this and we're finally ready to go public with the plan. Okay. Here's something that I wrote in my notes. It says, I don't like people thinking I'm some freak or oddity, but I think Harmontown was basically that. And so I kind of always bristled against it and I still am. So, okay. I feel like my whole life, I feel like I try to prove that I'm normal. Not that I am normal. And it's like I embrace my weirdness to a big extent. But like, I feel like, I don't know, you know, when I was a kid, I was the kind of kid where people would be like, oh, you should eat a bug. And it's like, well, I don't eat bugs. Like, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Like, but you know, that kind of kid, like that's a different, like that kid is viewed differently than other kids. Like they're not just looking to like any kid and being like, oh, that guy would eat a bug. It's like, oh, this kind of kid that we all think about like this way, think is going to do it, you know? And so like, I feel like I just like could clock that judgment from people at a young age and you kind of try and push against that somehow. And Harmontown was like, you know, such a celebration of this weird, vulnerable nerd or whatever, you know, this person who is kind of unabashedly a freak, and aren't we celebrating that? And isn't good to admit it, which is so at odds with me being like, no man, I'm fucking normal. Like I'm not ashamed that I play D&D, but I'm not gonna say like, look at me, I'm so fucked up because I play Magic the Gathering. No, I'm normal and I play Magic the Gathering, and if you don't think that's normal, you're fucked up. That's fucked up. I'm normal, fuck off, you know? And so I feel like because of Harmontown and because of my version, like my stature in Harmontown, people always like look at me as like that because they're like, oh, he's like this Harmontown mascot. Harmontown, the safe place for weird nerds. He's like me. He went on and found success as a weird nerd. Like I can be like that. And like, it's weird because I'm like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I am weird. I am a freak and I am a weird nerd like everybody else. I'm not one of you, you know, but my whole life I'm like, no, I'm just trying to be normal. It's fine. Like I just am doing this stuff. It's fine, you know? And it feels like the same kind of thing where it's like, people are always like, oh, you're so unique and you're so special and you're so honest. It feels like, it's like, yeah, you're so weird and different than every, like you specifically are so different than even all of us who all like Harmontown and bond over being the same. Like, you're even different than that. And it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, just no, I'm normal. Just, you're weird. Like, let me fucking go home or whatever, you know? And it's just this weird, I think it like powers like a weird like frustration or whatever, like that I have with like my fame specifically, if that makes sense. You know, I don't know. Something I was thinking about. File that under things that I should talk to my therapist about, huh?
But do you think it was more that, you know, hey, this is a show for the freaks and the weirdos out there, and you're one of them? Or do you think it was, the way I see it is more that it was like, hey, liking these things doesn't make you abnormal. You know, just because you like to play this game doesn't make it any different than you playing Fortnite or you playing, you know, football or anything like that. You know, like, everyone has a game they like to play. Just because this one is more in your head than on brass doesn't make you any more or less weird. Everybody is welcome here. Did you get that vibe?
No, I think that that's kind of the crux of my complaint here, I think, or like what I think, like, that is like where the break is. Like, okay, so if I'm hanging out with someone, I want them to feel welcomed, right? If I go to a comedy show and a joke does bad, I'll probably want to laugh at that one more because no one else is laughing at it. So I want to laugh at it so they get to laugh so they don't go, oh shit, fucking nobody laughed at this joke, right? I'm trying to make that person feel good, you know? So like, that's an inclusive energy. I think that's an energy I want to give off. If I'm around someone, I want them to feel comfortable and like I'm not, you know, like they're welcome in my presence, that there's no threats happening, you know? I think that's different than calling out that something is different and weird and saying it's okay and saying it's good and fine, you know? And I think there's something vulnerable and honest and revealing about that, but I think there can be something pathologizing maybe about it. Like, imagine if we were hanging out and you trip, right? Or you almost trip and you catch yourself. What I might do is like look away and make it look like I never saw it. Like, I just was looking at a bird the whole time you tripped, you know? Does that make sense? That way,
yes,
you would be all like, oh, no one noticed me trip. I'm okay. No one clocked that I'm weird. That would be different than if I watched you trip and be like, oh, man, are you okay? That's okay. I trip all the time. It's normal to trip, you know, because that would be saying, I clocked what happened. What happened is aberrant and not good. And I'm telling you, don't worry about this thing that's not good. It's okay that this not good thing is happening. It's not bad that this bad thing is happening. That's almost kind of the complete opposite. It's saying, you shouldn't feel bad about this. And also, despite that, don't feel bad about this. You know, it's like, it's a completely different approach, I think. Like, if I'm doing my job well, I'm not doing that. But when I feel clumsy and backwards, I am doing that. I think that's so cool. You have a lazy eye. I mean, well, it's not lazy. It just looks, I mean, you know, a lot of people have, you know, and it's like, we could just not talk about it at all. But, you know, like it's, that's the thing. And anyway, that's, so it's not that it's wrong to do it. I think, you know, it's being vulnerable, saying like, oh, I struggle. I'm out of sync with people a lot. This is a problem I have. I'm weird, but that's okay. I think there's something really honest and vulnerable and healthy about that. But at the same time, I think me feeling the opposite way is like, I really just brush against it really hard, being like, no, like, just shut up. Like, fucking, like, let's play golf or something. Like, just, let's not talk about this. Everybody else is always talking about this. I get it. Like, but yeah.
What a podcast. Do you feel like you worry about being an outsider, or are you more, you know, just feeling like the world treats you like one? Does that sort of what it seems like it's being distilled down to here with what you're saying?
Well, I mean, I am an outsider. I'm exceedingly outside in any given circumstance. Even at the bit, like when I'm in the core of a group of people, I still like push myself to the outside of it because that's where I am. You know, like, it's not that like It's not that like we're on an island and I'm on the edge of the island. It's that I'm a person who goes to the edge of the island and people go to the middle of the island, you know? So it's not like I'm like, oh man, I'm so alone. It's like, oh man, I'm a kind of person who drifts away from each other and looks at everyone and be like, what the fuck's going on over there? You know? And that's kind of just what naturally happened. Oh, my audio is fucked up. Shit. Okay. Yeah. Shit. Sorry. Did that fix it? Probably not, huh?
No.
Oh, God damn it, guys. I'm going to do something and I'm going to, okay, Kevin, talk.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I always sort of felt the same way too. You know, growing up, I grew up in a very small town, like I've talked about before. And like, I was the weird kid. You know, it's not like there was a bunch of weird kids around my same age that were, we all sort of were on the outside. I was the one on the outside. You know, I was the one weird kid. And while socially that was just crippling for me at the time, I think that kind of forced me to find different things to do with my life. And I don't think I would be where I am today had I had a more normal upbringing, you know? So I don't know. It's sort of a mixed bag there, you know? Like I look at people and listen to them talk about their experiences as teenagers and in college and things like that. And I just go, well, that was nothing like mine. I had nothing like that whatsoever. But I'm happy with where I am now in life. So maybe that's the recipe for that. I don't know. Do you want to try talking again and see if it's any better now?
Yeah. Is it better?
Yes, it actually should it be. Is.
Yeah. I've had that glitch before and that's what fixes it. We usually don't zoom in from this computer. So, but I am this time. So Jesus Christ, you know, the podcast is good and I'm good at doing it, but this sucks. The audio and the tech has sucked on this and I'm not going to lie about it. But I was going to say in response to what you is that I feel like when I was younger, I was more not a part. And I feel like I kind of separated myself more than other people, like castigated me or anything, but who knows? But I think that I wanted to I get what you mean, like trying to do your own thing because like you were kind of on the outside or whatever. I did that too, but I also like I would find like the people who are even weirder than me and I'd want to be nice to them. And then my friends would be all like, that's weird. You're being weird. And it's like, no, I'm being normal. Like you're being weird. And, then the weird people that I was being nice to, they were weird too. And then I was like, well, this sucks. This is weird. I'm dealing with weird people now. And then I wish I was dealing with my friends. And then my friends are like, well, you're weird now, you know? So it's hard. And then when you're trying to accommodate other people, that's a weird energy you're bringing too. So there's no way out. We're trapped in ourselves and, we will be forever and we'll die in our own prisons, you know? And, we should edit the burping out of the podcast. You got to send me this podcast. I'll edit it. I'll make it sound so good and I'll cut out everything that was bad, which is most of the podcast.
You're going to have a 3-minute episode this week.
Okay. Yeah. I think that could be really good. And thanks for covering, Kevin. I think people are going to like you talking about it. Okay. So we don't talk about Gaza.
Okay.
Moving on. No. Okay. All right. So there's a lot to say, but I'm not going to talk about anything. What I'm going to talk about is, it's really bad. I can't believe the genocide is going on. And I can't believe we're not doing more. But hey, bad things always happen and they will. It's just weird that the genocide is now it's Israel. They're doing it. They're the new Nazis right now. Huh? But so in Jewish mythology, Golem, you know, the Golem, the mythical Golem.
I do.
It's in other it's in like fucking D&D and shit, but it dates back, as far as I understand, to Jewish mythos. It was created by a Jewish mystic or scholar or priest or rabbi or whatever, you know, who essentially cast like a crazy spell invoking all the elements and the spirits of the land and the elements and stuff. And he created a golem, and it was made out of clay, I think. And it had a mouth. And if you would write instructions on a message and put it in the golem's mouth, it would do the instructions forever, basically. And usually in the mythology, what it was used for is to protect the church or the temple or the Jewish people, I think, is usually what it would do. And it would go crazy. It would rampage and kill a bunch of people. That's just what it would do. It's in the mythos. And that went into D&D's lore of golems, where golems have the souls trapped within them, and there's like a 1% chance for the souls to go crazy, and then they go nuts and kill everybody. And then in Fantasia, there was, you know, the Mickey Mouse Fantasia short with the brooms that are carrying the water. I think that's a pretty intentional reference to the Jewish golem. It just does this thing over and over because those are its orders. And it's just interesting because, again, I think like part of the mythology is like it ends up killing people that it's regretted, like we regret that it ended up killing these people, but the instructions didn't specify or whatever, you know, be careful what you wish for, etc. But it's just interesting that Israel is such a hyper aggressive reactionary state and has been for years. Like if you attack them, they'll go really hard back, retaliate. They have their Iron Dome and they'll strike you back and stuff. This has been their military posture forever. And, you know, now they're committing a genocide, and their genesis came from a genocide. You know, that's why Israel exists, in part because of World War II and stuff. And it's just interesting because it feels like the military apparatus of Israel is similar to like the mythical Jewish golem. That's like you have to be hyper aggressive and fight back so hard to protect the Jewish people. And that programming has turned them into Nazis, you know, and it is like this run amok golem that just all it can do is kill everything because that's all it's ever done anytime anyone did anything to them, you know, and that's all it knows. And it's just weird. And that's our show. We like to end the same show we do every time until the Kevin does the, is there anything left to do on the show today, Kevin?
There's not. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Until next time, smoke the back salt. Remember,